WDR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. A sixth Memphis police officer has been relieved of duty connected with that arrest of Tyree Nichols, who died 3 days later at a hospital. Nichols' family believed all officers involved should be charged in his death.
It was very, very hard to watch the video and to see them do what they did to my son. And I think that all of them should pay.
Nichols' stepfather, Rodney Wells. President Biden in Baltimore announcing a $4 billion project to replace an aging rail tunnel.
If this line shuts down in just one day, it would cost the country over $100 million.
It is funded by the bipartisan infrastructure law. Secretary of State Antony Blinken today in Israel meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu. A search for survivors continues at the scene of a suicide bomb that hit a mosque inside a police compound in Peshawar, Pakistan. It killed at least 59 people. This is ABC News. The CEO of TikTok is set to testify before Congress.
Popular video sharing app TikTok is facing growing backlash on Capitol Hill as lawmakers cite concerns that the Chinese-owned platform could share user data with China's government. Republican Senator Josh Hawley has proposed a nationwide ban on TikTok, citing national security risks. In March, TikTok's CEO will now testify to lawmakers for the first time. The House Energy and Commerce Committee says the hearing will cover TikTok's privacy and data security practices, the platform's impact on kids, and its relationship with the Chinese Communist Party. Elizabeth Scholze, ABC News, Washington.
Lisa Loring, who played TV's first Wednesday Addams in the 1960s series The Addams Family, has died. Loring's representative confirming to ABC News she passed away on Saturday surrounded by family. Loring first starred as Wednesday when she was 6 years old. That role has attracted new attention with the success of Netflix's series Wednesday. Loring was 64. Andy Field, ABC News.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Fox Valley, regional and state news and commentary. For us to find common ground, Civic Media.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The Republican flat tax may not make it to this year's budget debate after all. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells the Upfront program on Milwaukee's Channel 12 he understands Governor Evers would veto a flat tax. Voss says as long as lawmakers cut taxes, he really doesn't mind how. Wisconsin has a $7 billion budget surplus. The governor delivers his budget address on February 15th. After a big dumping of snow this weekend, snowmobile trails are now open throughout Wisconsin. Some trails are not groomed, so local snowmobile groups say to be careful. Lakes, ponds, and marshes that look safe may not be completely frozen. In sports, the Bucks beat New Orleans yesterday 135-110. The Eagles and Chiefs will play in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage, and I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you, your local Civic Media radio stations, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Cardall put out these weird, sad videos interviewing incapacitated elders in their nursing homes that don't have the ability to say, don't use me as your political prop.
If they are what you say they are, then you shouldn't be doing it how you did it.
Yes, it was the kids using the parents as props. Well, my old man hasn't talked since 76. Of course he would have voted for Trump. That's the evidence. Videos. People that can't talk.
It is wrong. So it's absolutely wrong.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they are not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Wasn't reminded of Jean of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Wasn't reminded of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
I'm Chris Jakimick. I served in the United States Air Force, and I've deployed 3 times. So in 2017, I was serving as an Air Force First Sergeant. Our motto in that role is, my job is people, everyone is my business. But unfortunately, in that year, I would lose my own brother, Lance Corporal Adam Jakimick, to suicide. The majority of veteran suicides are from guns. I store my weapons securely, not only for myself, but for my family. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide. My service never stops.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
Welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to, lots to talk about. Wow, what a story over the weekend I came across. And it's one of these things where you go, it's a joke. It's, you know, is it April Fool's? Is someone pulling my leg? Or are these, is this just a one-off kind of thing? The line that grabbed my attention, a mother talking of her child. We are so deeply invested into making sure that that child becomes a wonderful Nazi. Yeah, an Ohio couple known as Mr. and Mrs. Saxton, not their real names, because evidently they're not that invested in it. They have been running this dissident homeschool program that has about 2,400 members. And it's all about getting good Nazi curriculum out to the children. Because, you know, for instance, on MLK Day, the line that they want the children to learn, that it's up to the parents to make sure that the parents understand and teach the children that King was deceitful, dishonest, riot-inciting. He was a riot-inciting Negro who actually was the face of a movement which ethnically cleansed whites out of urban areas and precipitated the anti-white regime that we are now fighting to free ourselves from. Yeah, this is what they're teaching their children. They're encouraging meetup groups. They're having pool parties. You know, good ethnic cleansing kind of stuff. Demanding that they only hang around with other crazy radical white supremacists. But here's the thing. This is what gets me. And as I'm reading through the story of this couple that lives in Upper Sandusky, Ohio, which is right near Cedar Point, a great fun place. I lived in that area for a little while. Good, decent people. They look like normal people. Members of the Masons Club, participants in the community. Look on the outside. But wow. And you look at the hatred, the anger. It's the same stuff that you would have expected to see, 100 years ago. It's the same kind of hatred that's been bubbling up. And look, this is the Trump effect. This has made this stuff more okay in certain circles. And it's frightening, especially over the weekend, as we talked about. the murder of a black man by five black police officers. Race relations in this country, a real problem. And when you have this kind of stuff that goes on, where you have this kind of anti-Semitism, this kind of racism, this is, we're in a scary moment. And for everybody who thinks, no, everything's just fine. Don't, everything's just fine. There's just a handful of them. I don't know. Because when you looked at some of the comments and some of the stuff that goes in there, wow, we're at a frightening moment. And this is why I come to, you know, these kind of things keep popping up. And I've always been against homeschooling. I've always said it's child abuse. Most of it is done on the religious front. We want to promote Christian warriors. We're going to go out and you know, whatever that mindset is. But this too, this tearing us apart. Now, I grew up in an era where we were talking about the melting pot. You know, all of us came here from different places. All of us, you know, love this country, and all of us, you know, believe in this country and, you know, want to be Americans. And yet I see this kind of stuff, this hatred. And it's frightening. And what's interesting to me is while the people who are doing this, and again, it goes back to what I've always said. You know, it's that thing my mother used to say, if someone's pointing their finger at you, you got three fingers pointing back at them. So if they're accusing you of doing something, they're probably doing it three times as bad. And this is that. We hear all the time, you know, they're trying to indoctrinate the children with that theory about race that's critical. Or they're trying to indoctrinate the children with the drag shows. When the reality is, you want to talk about indoctrination. We're going to hand an infant an AR-15. We're going to have Nazi school curriculum for elementary students. And as I was reading through this story, and I was thinking about it, because again, these are people who you would think they're just good old fashioned, good old American folk. And the hatred that bubbles up there, the jealousy, the anger, it's quite incredible. Now, I come across it a lot. My email box gets some pretty vile stuff. But it reminded me of the woman I met in Erie when we were doing our Working Class Heroes tour. And she was standing outside with this giant, you know, with the word F. Biden printed on it. And I had to go up and ask her, you know, because there were kids walking up and down the street. You know, I had to ask her, you know, what do your children think of you doing this? And she had the nerve to tell me, well, she didn't say it. I go, much worse, you're standing here holding it. Complete disconnect. And then she began to lecture me about how her 13-year-old was smarter than me on politics, and that he would put me in my place. And maybe that's so. But what 13-year-old should be in this kind of anger, hate-filled kind of politic? 13-year-olds should be playing ball in the park. 13-year-olds should be enjoying their childhood instead of becoming a Christian warrior on the front lines of the race wars, which is what these folks are trying to do. You see all these people going to school board meetings. That's indoctrination. That kind of hatred is wow. And the question I keep coming back to, you know, like there's a guy, there are a couple of people who live in around my neighborhood who have the F. Biden flags up on the poles. What message is that sending? The coarseness of our language, the coarseness of our discourse, our inability to express ourselves and to speak in ways that are not just throwing bombs at each other. It's frightening. And what message does this send to the kids? What does the future hold? If look, now these people in their 30s, I'm sure their parents in their 50s are just as bad. Probably not worse. But we're building a generation of really frightening people. You know, every once in a while you'll hear one of these crazy stories come up. You know, back about, I guess about 10, 12 years ago. You had that couple from New Jersey who named their kid Adolf Hitler and named the other two kids, Jocelyn Lynn, Aryan Nation, And the other one, Hosalyn Hindler, Janine. I'm like, what the heck is this? Now, eventually the state did take those kids away because they were, well, abusive and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But it all happened because these people thought it'd be cute to name their child Adolf Hitler. It'd be cute to go to the local baker and try and get them to put a happy birthday Adolf Hitler on a cake. Because, again, it was about attention seeking. This has gone beyond attention seeking. This has gone beyond, hey, look at me. This has gone to the point of an international movement of people who are trying to really tear us apart. And the question is, what kind of a society are we? Are we a society who, oh, we're going to, well, it's okay. That's their right to indoctrinate their children. Because we're hearing right now, and this is what's going on in Congress right now, there are parental rights bills that we shouldn't have any say in what parents do with their kids. And look, I'm a parental rights guy. I don't want government or anybody else telling me how to raise my children. But there's a moment, there's a place where you're endangering not just your children, but society by creating these kind of, well, dangerous people. I'm frightened by it for the future of what happens. I was thinking about this kid because I think it was 2009 when the Campbell people out in New Jersey did the whole thing with Adolf. That kid's probably around 17, 18 now. I got to wonder, what kind of future does that kid have? And as I was remembering that case, I went back and looked up the story. The father went to court and in a full Nazi uniform. And his statement was, if they're good judges, if they're good people, they'll look within and not what's on the outside. But here's my problem. What's on the outside is what's on the inside. And the question is, who are we? What kind of a society are we going to be? Are we going to be a society that's opening and welcoming? Are we going to be the kind of a society that says that you can lead your best life? You have the right to do what you want as long as it doesn't infringe on others while protecting the children from, well, I don't know. I'm curious your thoughts. Does the state have an interest in not promoting a Nazi child? A mother who wants her child to be the very best Nazi he can be? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com, or give us a call, 1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. Quick break, right back.
If you're a fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in Two segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible two-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So corporate America, with the help of their Republican Party lackeys, are about to go on the offensive as predicted. A couple of pieces of legislation that are going to be bouncing around. The Stopping Home Office Works Unproductive Problems Act. Or the Show Up Act. This is going to make sure that no one is allowed in the federal government to stay home and work from home. You have to come to work. None of this laying around in your PJs. There's that. There's also the Freedom for Healthcare Workers Act, which is coming up for a vote. That basically says no more mask mandates. So if you work in a nursing home, you have the freedom, you have the liberty to make your patients sick by not wearing a mask, because that's your freedom. And the, of course, the Pandemic is Over Act. We've won. Ta-da! Done. There is that. So congratulations. All you had to do was elect a Republican House, and it's over. So there is that. Now, here's the other part of this. Corporate America is really going to try and regain control. And the recession that they've been pushing for is a big part of it. Legislation by Republicans, a big part of it. I look out in California. You may remember, we've talked about this Fast Recovery Act. It's the Fast Food Act to make sure that fast food workers, you know, have some say in the workplace. It's really one of the first tries at legislatively bringing on sectorial bargaining into this country to ensure that an industry has a floor, that we use legislation, we use collective bargaining on mass scales between employers, workers, and government to ensure that there are safe working conditions, decent wages, decent, all that stuff. The CEO of McDonald's, in an open letter published on January 25th, said basically, you know, it's impossible to run a small business in California because, you know, the thought is it's going to raise wages in the fast food industry. And, you know, some of the thoughts are it's going to make fast food workers make about $22 an hour. Now, in other countries, this happens because we don't have, well, the massive, massive inequality in wage that we have in this country. And this, well, McDonald's can't have. Now, what I find interesting is McDonald's is not a small business. They seem like a pretty big business, because if you know what the FAST Act is, it only affects fast food chains that have 100 or more locations in the state. So you've got to be, I don't know, small business is 100. I'm thinking 2 or 3. But this is 100, and they're saying, you know, it's going to be your big chains. It's going to be McDonald's. It's going to be Burger King, Wendy's. It's going to be those, Chipotle, some of those. Because McDonald's got like 14,000 restaurants in the U.S. Not what I would consider a small business. Now, he's complaining that, you know, this is going to kill small business. It's going to dry up the jobs and all this. And I disagree. What it's going to do is it's going to redistribute the wealth that's created. Because here's the weird thing. Our CEO pocketed in 2021, $7.4 million. Now, he put in his pocket $7.4 million, did not flip one burger, did not want drop one basket of fries, did not take one order, did not empty one waste can, did not empty one grease bucket, didn't mop a floor, didn't smile at a customer, did not take abuse from abusive customer, did nothing productive to earn a dollar, but took $7.4 million, or in minimum wage terms, 490 people. He took in 1 year what 490 employees making minimum wage earned that year by doing all those things and making the profit that they're taking on. But it's impossible to run a small business, according to this person. Now, understand, there's going to be millions and millions of dollars in California spent on this referendum that's going to hit right for the presidential election in 2024, because they've got to claw back the power to, well, crush working people. And this is where the frustration of this moment is, because we as working people, and I ask this question all the time, what are you? Are you a worker first, or are you consumer first? Sadly, too many of us view ourselves as consumers first. You know, what can I buy? How cheap can I get something? Instead of thinking, you know, it's the chicken or egg, if you will. You know, do you see yourself as a worker? Should I make a decent wage? Should I have good health care? Should I have good retirement security? Should I have a say? Should I have security? Should I have these things first and then go into the free market? Sadly, we've been trained like Pavlovian dogs. It's all about, what's that Walmart, you know, lower prices, better living? Well, how do you think you get that? You get that by crushing wages. And corporate America has done that in masterful ways over the last couple of decades. And we're going to see it again. This referendum in California is going to be interesting to watch, because they're going to spend, like I said, millions of dollars convincing middle-income America that the poor is coming for them. Going to convince someone who's making $22 an hour now that they are are better. They are more skilled. They are more dedicated, more loyal, whatever the word's going to be, than those fast food workers who are just teenagers, who are just, you know, snot-nosed kids with their first jobs, when the reality is that's not what it is at all. Sadly, since we've lost so much manufacturing, since we've lost so much of our production capacity, those fast food jobs, if you'll remember, go with me in the way back machine. George W. Bush was president. They actually wanted to make fast food jobs production, factory jobs. They wanted to classify making a sandwich the same as building a car. They wanted to make them factory jobs so that they could say, we've got manufacturing jobs. See, now you're manufacturing a pickle on a whole wheat bun. And you know, how's that thing go with the sesame seeds and all that? Yeah, that was what they tried. Now, it didn't work because people go, that's not right. But they're going to play this division game again, and because they're masters at it. They're so good at getting us to look behind us and go, you're not worthy. Instead of reaching back and saying, here's a hand, let's all do better. Now, here's the weird part. Whether you're making 22, whether you're making 15, whether you're making 725, your interests are more aligned between the three of you than you have with the guy making 7.4 $1 million a year, telling the people who actually do the work, sorry, can't afford that. Now, what's interesting to me is I got a lot of responses from people who, when I put this out on social media, who said, look, there are chains out there that are doing this, that are paying good wages, that are treating their employees well and make a great product at a competitive price. For me, the bigger part of all of this is, yeah, we want to make sure that the industry pays a wage that people can survive on so that the taxpayers don't have to subsidize these huge corporations. Because that's what this is. Most of those fast food workers are women with children who get subsidies from the state to be able to supplement their income, to be able to make it. We're subsidizing multi-billion dollar industries so that CEOs and presidents can put $7.4 million in their pockets. Instead of saying, no, you pay your own freight. You pay your workers so that they can support themselves and the taxpayer doesn't have to. We're not doing that. And corporate America is afraid of this. For me, it's about time we start undoing some of the damage we've done over the years through bad policy. And one of it is this franchise model. Everything's a franchise. Everything, you get the big conglomerate name, but you don't have to deal with all of the labor implications. You know, McDonald's doesn't own all 14,000 restaurants. McDonald's is a real estate company. They own a lot of land. They own the license. They own the distribution. They don't flip the hamburgers. They don't put the bag out the window, but they collect the cash. And they got people out there who are the franchisees who then can have to go out and have to cutthroat compete. And how do they do that? They do that by cheating their workers. They do that by, you know what, rolling downhill. And who's at the bottom of the hill? The minimum wage worker. So this to me is an opportunity to go, you know what? We don't need 14,000 McDonald's. Maybe we need a couple of McDougals. Maybe we need, you know, Joe's restaurant. Maybe we need someone, you know, named a couple of other ones that I had never heard of. Maybe we have some innovation. Maybe we have some other ways of doing. Maybe we get away from the homogeny of all of these franchises. Here's a thought. Maybe we reimagine an economy where a bunch of fast food workers can then start their own. That's how an economy used to work. Instead of having a behemoth like this who's going to impose their will because they have the economic resource and the economic power to do it, maybe, just a thought, maybe we start thinking about how we empower workers. Now, 2024, a presidential year, this is going to, they're choosing this specifically because they want to play on that anger. Because they're hoping the recession comes, they're hoping that recession goes right into 24, so people are ticked at workers because workers are the ones they're blaming. They're going to blame them, trust me. All those people wanted unions, they wanted wage increases. All those wage increases causes the prices to go up. Never mind the fact that we know it's the corporations who are gouging our eyes out But we've got a corporate media who keeps spinning the no. It's those greedy workers. How dare they want to feed their families? How dare they? It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out because
Fox Valley regional and state news and commentary for us to find common ground. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. A sixth Memphis police officer has been relieved of duty connected with that arrest of Tyree Nichols, who died 3 days later at a hospital. Nichols' family believed all officers involved should be charged in his death.
It was very, very hard to watch the video and to see them do what they did to my son. And I think that all of them should pay.
Nichols' stepfather, Rodney Wells. President Biden in Baltimore announcing a $4 billion project to replace an aging rail tunnel.
If this line shuts down in just one day, it would cost the country over $100 million.
It is funded by the bipartisan infrastructure law. Secretary of State Antony Blinken today in Israel meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu. A search for survivors continues at the scene of a suicide bomb that hit a mosque inside a police compound in Peshawar, Pakistan. It killed at least 59 people. This is ABC News.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network. CivicMedia.us.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The Republican flat tax may not make it to this year's budget debate after all. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells the Upfront program on Milwaukee's Channel 12 he understands Governor Evers would veto a flat tax. Voss says as long as lawmakers cut taxes, he really doesn't mind how. Wisconsin has a $7 billion budget surplus. The governor delivers his budget address on February 15th. After a big dumping of snow this weekend, snowmobile trails are now open throughout Wisconsin. Some trails are not groomed, so local snowmobile groups say to be careful. Lakes, ponds, and marshes that look safe may not be completely frozen. In sports, the Bucks beat New Orleans yesterday 135-110. The Eagles and Chiefs will play in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you, your local Civic Media radio stations, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/work. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/work. That's ZipRecruiter.com/work. ZipRecruiter.com/work.
Only life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Only clinging to George because his own support in the House is so iffy that he needs Santos's vote to save his own worthless political hide. This is Jim Hightower saying, Santos is a congenital liar, but McCarthy is a self-serving political hack, and neither one should be in public office.
Well,
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So it looks like the GOP brain trust has realized their 30% tax scheme. Not very popular. Their plan to destroy Social Security and Medicare, not getting the reviews that they thought they were going to get. So it's time to break out the tried, true, tested BS. And today my email box was full of GOP front groups and power mongers with, you know, claiming, hey, the mask mandates are coming back. They're coming for the children. In fact, you know, GOP presidential wannabe Mike Pompeo sent me an email to remind me, just wanted to remind me, that there are power-hungry, woke mobs of liberal, unionized teachers who are coming for the children. Yeah, they're coming. So be afraid. So forget all that other stuff. Be afraid. And this is what they do masterfully. You got to give them credit. It's predictable. You know it's coming, but they're good at it. And here to share some thoughts on just how good they are at it, I've asked Sherry Jacobus to come talk with us. She is a political strategist and host of the podcast Politics with Sherry Jacobus. Sherry, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So, you know, I look at this and, you know, I get this email today and I'm going, woke, liberal, woke, this again? We're going back through this again? Pretty predictable. We need the distraction. I need the outrage candy.
Yeah, that's what they have to do. Well, and the mask mandates, you know, we still have people dying of COVID. I've had family members who didn't bother getting their second booster, went to a family event. They all got COVID, including a 91-year-old man, my father, in the hospital. I mean, it, you know, this is rough stuff. And I'm immune compromised from chemo. So I wear my mask everywhere still. And, you know, I know a lot of people that do. There's a reason for that. So, yeah, this business, this is kind of a DeSantis thing, too. You know, the whole not wearing masks and COVID is over. And now, as you know, Republicans have decided, we've got Marjorie Taylor Greene saying they're going to pass legislation basically saying COVID is over.
Ta-da!
It's gone. It's like, no, it's really not. It's not gone. We've been living with it for a while. We've found ways to mitigate it. And part of that is masking. And sometimes when there's an outbreak and a surge, yes, we all have to mask, including some kids. And most kids are okay with that, I think, until they see their parents freaking out because their parents are listening to, you know, right-wing media. So kids are pretty, you know, adaptable. If they have to wear a mask sometimes, they'll do it. So this is manufactured outrage because the other stuff they're doing, as you said, is kind of landing with a thud, not helping them out.
But the thing is this is 40 years of this kind of stuff. It's predictable. It's what they do very well. I mean, we had the Stove Troopers not too long ago, and it got me wondering, you know, if this were the 1970s when we were doing away with asbestos and lead and gasoline, would there have been someone on the floor of the house wearing an asbestos coat going, no, how dare you take my asbestos coat? It's so warm in the summertime. Or how dare you not let my children eat lead paint chips? I mean, this is how crazy we've gotten.
Yeah. Well, you know, I used to be a Republican and I worked in Republican politics and was kind of a part of all of that. I was what they always called a rhino, though. But I saw the evolution of the right wing media. And, you know, it used to be very different. But when you've got that much time to fill, people fill it with outrage because then you have to get the eyeballs and the ears for all of this sort of thing. And so the competition becomes really stiff. So they have to become more outrageous and more polarizing so that the right and the left can't work together, so that Republicans and Democrats can't work together. And the dirty little secret back when I first started working on Capitol Hill decades ago was that Republicans and Democrats did work together on most everything. And back when I was a pundit on television, you know, for about 20 years, I was on Fox a whole lot, CNN, MSNBC before, you know, Trump took care of all of that. You know, you would get these invitations to go on the air, but they only wanted you on, you know, Fox only wanted you on if you would be like kind of a far right wing nutcase in some cases. So there were many times when I would say, well, no, that's not really something I can say or something I care about that much. And they only wanted the outrage. And that was fueled by right wing talk radio and Rush Limbaugh, you know, of course, the king of that. And it just grew into this kind of a monster that now drives policy in this country.
No, I mean, I used to have friends who I disagreed with.
They have all gone off in different ways and gotten even more extreme. And I keep coming back to, you know, you said, you know, politicians used to work together. They used to drink together. Their families used to do things together. Now there's none of that. And that's, well, that's bad for working people. It's good for the corporate interests because, you know, the status quo is good for the people who are doing very well in this economy. But for working people, this isn't good stuff.
No, it's not. Everything gets kind of skewed. And we have these people who become stars who should be behind bars. Marjorie Taylor Greene is arguably now the most powerful woman in politics because she's got McCarthy by the doodads. Can I say doodads on your show?
Yeah, no, there's an image.
but you know that is something that could not have happened before. In fact, even to have a close working relationship with the speaker of your party or the majority minority leader in your party, you would have to be someone who had been in Congress for a while and kind of proven yourself in committee and shown that, you know, you can get things done. Now, you know, you've got somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene who has this kind of power because she literally was holding one of the people holding the speakership hostage so that it took 15 rounds of voting for McCarthy to become speaker. And so now people like her own him. And you know, you hear that there are these sane Republicans out there. Some of them are making noises that they're objecting to certain Democrats being kicked off committees and that sort of thing. And we keep hearing about them. They actually have the power to also hold McCarthy hostage should they decide to use that power. They can do it. No. In fact, Democrats can, any member of Congress can call for a vote now to de-gavel the speaker. And I hope that the first time that happens, that's their new rule. I hope the first time that happens is that it's done by a Democrat and for some very good reasons that need lots of attention. That's how you message things. That use it to their advantage instead of saying, well, when they go low, we go high. It's like, no, fight them. Use the rules to your advantage.
See,
it's
I like their rules. I like you. See, and when people were doing that, no, when they go high, we go low, we go high. I go, no, when they go low. I played football for years. They go low, you smash their face into the dirt so they don't do it again. That's what you do.
You know, we didn't used to consider, Republicans and Democrats didn't used to consider each other enemies. And now the Republicans are using terminology that they definitely think we are enemies. They like Putin, but, you know,
yeah,
but Democrats are, well, Putin gets a lot of money, you know, which flows through the NRA. I mean, he's their guy. That's why some of them are in Congress. I mean, do you really think that George Santos didn't get to Congress by rubles? I mean, come on.
No,
we know that he's backed. Yeah. So I think that Putin and Russia have infiltrated more of our politics than we realize. Some people know and realize it, but they're afraid to say it.
But Sherry, I'm told that's all a hoax.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why people are afraid to say it, because they don't like being told that, well, that's a hoax and you're a tinfoil hat conspiracist.
No. And this is where the media empire that they've built is so important to point out. The fact that they have such a big megaphone and there's nothing on the other side. You know, people beat up on CNN. CNN's not even close. MSNBC, nowhere even in the ballgame. And look, you know, they dominate talk radio like no other. They have the media. They have the megaphone. They've got the echo chamber, and they're tied in with all of these state policy network think tanks. They're tied in with all of these talking heads and all these. It's really impressive what they've built. Like, you have to kind of be in awe.
Well, yeah, and it's a very strong network, and it's well funded. And the left does not have anything like that. Air America that they had was, you know, kind of fizzled out. And I've got. Have you ever seen YS on Twitter? And he's now left Twitter. He's just YS. He's a former kind of a big honcho, one of the cable nets, actually CNN. And I've had him on my podcast. I'm having him on again. He's going to talk to me about why he left Twitter. But he explains why there's so much there. You look at the new right-wing media that's popping up, particularly television, cable, you've got Newsmax, and you've got some of these others that are popping up. Why so many of them? And News Nation, you know, leans right, although they're not like a Newsmax or anything like that. But why are they all leaning in that direction? There's so few left-wing
I can tell you. It's the money.
It's because, and this is what YS explained to us, it's because Product advertising is kind of dying on cable news. It's, you know, commercial, it's regular networks are doing okay with it. It's all gone digital. And so there's all this dark money in the super PACs, this right-wing dark money that they're all chasing after. And that's why CNN has tilted, I hate to say right, tilted nuts a little bit, you know, MAGA. It's because of the money. They're all chasing that money. The way you get rid of it, of course, is Citizens United, which will never happen. But you've got the big money people who want all the goodies they get. They want their corporate tax breaks. So they're going to pour all this money into the so-called social issues and the evangelical stuff and all the stuff that really, you know, this rage machine for the, you know, the uneducated MAGA people that Trump loves so much. And so they're putting that money into cable to get and I'm sure right-wing media as well, a right-wing radio as well, to keep the unwashed masses, MAGA masses, enraged over the social issues, so that our United States oligarchs, our American oligarchs, and others can still get the goodies. So they're using the evangelicals and the uneducated, getting them. You know, so they give the eyeballs and everything to these networks, and they're using them, they're pouring the money in there so that they get what they want.
Yeah, to rob us blind. And then basically the premise of what we do here, pointing out all the time, is that the status quo benefits the very wealthy, the 1% who do fund all this stuff, because it does. It comes down to the money that they invest in this, and they get a massive return on investment. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where Sherry Jacobus, she's a political...
It's Jacobus, by
Jacobus,
the way.
Sorry. Sherry Jacobus, she's a political strategist and host of the podcast Politics with Sherry Jacobus. We'll get links out on social media how you can take a look at that. So, you know, in looking at the most recent fight that we just had, saw over at the RNC, obviously Ronna McDaniels came out ahead. I was hoping for the pillow guy. I really wanted to see him. Look, if we're going down the tubes, I want the pillow guy leading it. I'm curious your thoughts on how that played out.
Oh, I mean, that was just a joke. You know, she's a joke, Ronna McDaniels. Their entire platform before was they didn't even have one. It's just whatever Donald Trump wants, that's what we'll do. Whatever he wants. We don't even care what it is. That was literally the RNC platform. And Ronna McDaniel ran with that. And that seemed to work well. But actually not so well, because what have they lost? They barely won the House majority in a year where I think they thought they were going to do a lot better. So I'm thinking, if it's just the pillow guy running against her, obviously he's not, you know, my pillow guy. Nothing's going to happen there. But why are they keeping her? I mean, is she some sort of fundraising powerhouse? I mean, without NRA Putin money, I mean, what can they do? So her track record isn't that great. So it's kind of mystifying to me that she didn't get challenged by somebody more serious. But that tells me that though they think that they're, you know, they claim that they're separating themselves from Trump and they're being independent from him. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. They're still in lockstep with him. They might be hoping that somebody else comes up, a different face, but it'll still be MAGA. It'll still be Trumpism. It just won't be Trump. They might be shying away from him because they don't think he's going to survive that, you know, all the legal stuff at some point. Maybe some of the big money people are getting sick of it. But see, they've been growing these other little mini Trumps, you know, like you've got Ron DeSantis. So it could be that some of the big money people, and this is, you know, we've heard this a little bit, the big money people are just nervous about Trump and sick of Trump. And they think that DeSantis is a more malleable, smarter, easier, I don't know, easier to manage Trump.
Do you think he's
still
the
MAGA, though?
Do you think he's the replacement then?
Yeah, I think there's really nobody else. Trump is now starting to attack him. I mean, but if you've seen him out there on the campaign trail, I mean, he has the personality of a wet dish rag. I mean, he's nothing. You know, Trump is nuts and crazy and gets up there and, I mean, remember, they kept the cameras on him. Jeff Zucker, when he was running CNN at a big town hall for all CNN employees, when they were expressing concern that all of the coverage was going to be giving Trump the nomination, this was in 2015, 2016, and it was Jeff Zucker who greenlit The Apprentice for Trump when he was head of entertainment at NBC and very good friends with Trump, said, I don't care. Keep the cameras on him till the eyeballs leave. Now, that's not news. That's not news coverage. That's not journalism. But it's because Trump was so outrageous and crazy and evil and disgusting. And so everybody just tuned in to watch him. Plus, they were kind of forcing him on it, on us. And then he was able to, you know, wield that power that he had of the ratings, and use that as a cudgel to beat them over the head to get what he wanted. And it worked for him. So these network executives, at some point, they just caved to him and he was running the show. I'd never seen anything like it. And I've been involved in politics and media and campaigns for, you know, decades. And that was just chilling.
Now, what is it? But, you know, I look at this and I remember back then going, what does this say about us as a society when this guy who's got a track record of bankruptcies and cheating workers out of wages and, you know, all the things that he was the guy. What does it say about us?
Well, that we like that type of reality TV, I guess. But I think most people didn't think it would ever really happen. And, you know, you remember that first debate, the Fox News debate. And I heard that, you know, before that, Roger Ailes had been like, okay, so we've had our fun. We've all got our ratings. Now it's time to get serious. And so Megyn Kelly, that's when she was asking the questions and basically about the misogyny and that sort of thing, kind of nailing him on this. And after that, Roger Ailes and the executives at Fox were so blown away by the response they got from viewers. Well, those were actually bots and trolls, you know, the Putin bots and trolls. But Fox News was fooled into thinking that they were actual Trump supporters in the primary when you had like, what, 15 people running at that point. But he had to help build that monster too.
Yeah.
You know, Corey Lewandowski told me point blank, this was in May or June of 2015, that he and Trump had had dinner with Roger Ailes. And he had said, oh, we'll do anything we can to help you. Well, I was thinking, yeah, right. You know, kind of rolling my eyes because he probably said that to everyone. Well, he probably did. He was being polite. But Trump and Putin knew how to work it so that the media executives who thought they were in charge, we'll have our fun with these ratings and then we'll do the responsible thing. Well, by the time they decided to do that, they were no longer in charge. Donald Trump was, because then he'd be like, I will cut you off. You will not get any interviews from me and I will tell everybody not to watch you. So, but I wanted to say something about that PAC money before it goes to the dark money that goes to the cable nets. The reason MSNBC is not vulnerable to that is because they're under NBC, which is still one of the three big commercial nets. So they're still getting product advertising. So they're not out there chasing the dark money. If they ever have to, God help us, because then we've got no one. But it would be good if there'd be some money that would be put into something on the other side, more of the cable, more talk radio. They say outrage sells. Well, there's plenty to be outraged about. Just keeping up with all of the Trump and MAGA scandals should be enough with radio, with people going on long trips and truckers. And that's where Rush Limbaugh built a big audience with that demographic. So you would have to be smart enough to have the money. So who's going to be giving that kind of money? What Democratic big donor would care enough to put that kind of money into funding some of that, and you know, what would be their reason for doing it?
And that's the question. And when you figure that out, let me know, because we haven't found them.
Because the reality is they have different agendas.
Yep, they buy politicians. They don't buy infrastructure.
Well, that's well put.
No, I mean, they fall in love with candidates. They waste $100 million on Jamie Harris and Amy McGrath. They spend all of this money on campaigns they can't win for the vanity, instead of thinking long term like the Republicans did years ago and built an infrastructure and created an environment to mm-hmm. foster a bench. The left, Democrats, whatever, however you want to put that, they didn't have that vision.
Well, and there wasn't anybody, for example, to go in and put a lot of radio into West Virginia when they needed to, you know, beat up Joe Manchin a little bit. So he is a free ride there. Yep. Radio in West Virginia is very cheap. It works. A lot of people there aren't online and very familiar with the state. Radio still works, old-fashioned radio, and it's cheap. So somebody, an interested party, could have come in and taken some of the power away from Joe Manchin by giving him a little bit of trouble back home. But the DNC wasn't going to go in and spend any money against a fellow Democrat. And, you know, obviously Republicans aren't going to do it. So that's where, you know, on the right, you have all of this dark money and all these super PACs with these lovely sounding names that'll go in and do that. But there wasn't anybody on the other side who would go in and try and, make some corrections to Manchin when he was just out of control.
No, there's no balance. It's the reason we started this program 18 years ago. As a truck driver myself, you know, I lived through that. I watched the right destroy our lunchroom. I watched how they took over the messaging in our lunchroom and changed working people. You know, J.D. Scholten in Iowa told me that, you know, Iowa used to be a strong, moderate Democratic state, but talk radio turned it into a raging radical state. It's not even a Republican state. It is a radical state now. And that's frightening.
Well, it also changed the Republican Party. I was a Republican, came in. I worked for Bob Michael, for goodness sake. No one really would consider him nowadays. He wouldn't be allowed in the party. Ronald Reagan wouldn't even be allowed in the party right now. So I saw how it changed the Republican Party. I came to Washington when Reagan was president. So this change, it was little by little. Even during when Newt became speaker, it wasn't like this. It definitely was a huge shift. And that's when I would see people at the table that I would like, well, what's that person doing here or this group? You know, the evangelical kind of nutty right wing that before, oh yeah, you know, they're there and they're kind of off on the fringe. And then it's like, but now they have a seat at the table.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember being shocked being in leadership meetings because I was communications director for the House Education and Workforce Committee, the ultimate RINO committee, and, you know, going to leadership meetings. And there would be Ginny Thomas, married to Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, and she's in a top position with House Majority Leader Dick Armey. So I'd be in meetings with her and talking things, I guess they'd be talking coalitions, and it seemed blatantly political. And, you know, and I felt sorry for her, because it felt like she was always getting beat up on. But I remember thinking, why is she here, though? Why is she doing this? Her husband's on the Supreme Court. This is so inappropriate. So, and also, you know, if you can't complain about the press beating up on you when you're putting yourself out there that way and in such an inappropriate manner.
So last line of questioning I've got for you then, is there any hope here? I mean, do you see anything turning around? Because I'm looking at the next couple years as nothing's going to happen in the House positive. We're going to see a bunch of, you know, just wrangling back and forth. Trump is going to come back, and it's going to be the Trump show for a while, and that pie fight. Do you see anything positive coming out of this?
Well, my disappointment in Merrick Garland is about as strong as it's ever been and has been for a while. I think he has sold us out. I hope the special counsel does something quickly. But look, there are people who have key positions in Congress, Republican members of Congress, who belong behind bars, and instead they have power. And I think if Merrick Garland had done his job, that would not be the case. So much has happened. You know, democracy is the victim here. And I don't know if it's just taking a long time, but the credible people that I listen to who actually, you know, have skin in the game or have been in this arena, who have worked at DOJ and been former federal prosecutors, they are as alarmed as I am. And those are the people that I listen to. So I think that Merrick Garland is an absolute disaster. And had he done his job, obviously Trump wouldn't be running. I don't think Republicans would have had a House majority. And we're sitting here waiting as if we expect something to happen any minute. But, you know, we've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah. Do you expect anything to happen? I mean, because I remember, look, you were the one behind the reading of the Mueller report. And
yeah.
I'm going, you know, Robert Mueller was never going to be our savior. I had people come on this program saying Trump's going to resign any day. I'm like, no, he's not. All of this hope in somebody else. Shouldn't this be the moment where we go, America, America, stand up, vote, throw this bum out, show the world that this is not who we are.
Well, and I think that some key Democrats need to march down Pennsylvania Avenue and have a chat with the president and say Merrick Garland has to go. He's not doing his job. That is not intervening in DOJ activity. And of course, the special counsels would be still in place. But Ray should go. I mean, none of this is making sense, especially now that we know, you know, new stuff is coming out about Barr and you know, just all of it. It's absolutely alarming. is kind of late in the game for some of this stuff. And we're going to get into an election year. And then what's Merrick Garland going to say? Well, Trump's a candidate. Now it's an election year, so we can't do anything. That is absolutely alarming. The fact that Steve Bannon can still sit behind a microphone instead of sitting behind bars is alarming. And Roger Stone and Michael Caputo and a whole slew of the rest of them. And they're out there, you know, creating more of this dangerous, I don't even want to call it right-wing radio, right-wing media. We're talking fascism. And
you're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Greenback.